This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, from BetQL, it's time for the Daily Tip with Michael Jenkins.
Dang it, he's talented, and let's be honest, I go for ambition, not look.
And Chelsea Messenger.
Don't kill the messenger, or the messenger will kill you.
Hey, Dad, don't forget about me, the dunkster.
Presented by BetMGM.
Good morning and happy Monday. We hope you had a great weekend, but now it's time to get back to business. Over the next hour, we've got all kinds of things to talk about, including the best of the weekend. We crown a champion of MVP Monday. Then at 7:20, the stage is set for the Western and Eastern Conference Finals with the defending champs now out. Is it finally the Celtics' year to win it all? Then at 7:40, why is Tua Tagovailoa not at Dolphins OTAs? We tell you everything that you need to know that's going on in the NFL right now. Jinx, as we do MVP Monday, a lot of it was about narratives being broken this weekend. Of course, you know, with the great weekend for Xander Schauffele. And it's funny to me how narratives exist. Like in the court of law, it's supposed to be you are innocent until proven guilty. It feels like when there are narratives about somebody winning the big one, you're guilty until proven innocent. Doesn't it feel like the only solution for somebody who has been dubbed, oh, he can't win the big one? Literally the only way to cure this is actually winning the big one. You can have, you know, all these great performances. You can be great in, like, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever. But it's funny how we place so much onus on somebody actually securing, you know, the championship, whether it's one game, whether it's a best of seven. And sometimes, especially in these team sports, a lot of it is not really under their control. Do you think this is an astute, you know, assumption that, you know, in the court of public opinion, that these guys are guilty until proven innocent?
Oh, yeah. You see it all the time because we attach, I mean, narratives are a part of sports. They're a part of life. And right. sometimes they're fair, sometimes they're unfair. And I think we've all dealt with these, even personally. You know, someone might view you a certain way, could be personally, could be at your job. And you're like, okay, what can I do? How do I get out from under being pigeonholed this way or viewed this way? And sometimes it takes a lot of work. Of course, if you play sports for a living and you're constantly in the public eye and you're making a ton of money and you're expected to perform in front of fans who buy tickets to see you, then the pressure is exponential. That just kind of comes with the job. And so you have to accept that. But also, I totally understand that frustration of, hey, this exists. But if you look a little deeper or maybe you take a step back, it's not necessarily true. Some of those things are true. Some of them become low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I think some of it is lazy narratives. Like some people who just see this and they think it's similar to like box score checking. The box score will tell you a lot about a game, but it's not going to tell you everything. So I think you have to remember if you're one of these star athletes where you hear like the casual fans saying these things, they're not at the game. They're not watching the games, and they're not your boss. So it simply doesn't matter. Jenks, have you ever had this in life where you had a narrative that you felt was attached to you and you couldn't shake it? And it almost was a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like I had this, you know, early in my career where everybody kept saying, you're only here because they needed a token woman on the staff. You're only here because of the way you look, which I was like, hey, I've never been the pretty girl. So I will take that compliment. But it almost felt like a self-fulfilling prophecy to me because I found myself doubting my ability and saying, well, what if they're right? What if I'm not that smart? What if I should be doubting, you know, everything that I stand for? And I feel like you have to find a way to block it out because it will get to you.
Oh, no question. No, I faced this early in my career. I had a real crossroads when I was studying journalism and going to school for it. And I didn't know if I wanted to do news or sports. I couldn't decide. I was like, Michael, you have to chart a path now. You have to figure it out. And I was leaning towards news at one time because it paid a little bit better. And I was really interested in the journalistic underpinnings. But then I realized, no, you're more passionate about sports. And I've always believed journalism is journalism, right? You might deal with different subject matter, but the way you handle a certain story and your ability to write around that story or to that story, that doesn't change. But so early on in my career when I did sports, and I think sports is fun, entertaining, I think that's pretty obvious now. 20 years ago, there were some differing opinions on that. And so I definitely got pigeonholed into being the funny guy, which is fine because I don't mind having fun with things. But I was also very passionate about the fact that I can do anything. I can do a serious news story. I can do a serious news feature. I just chose not to do it. But if need be, I can accomplish that. And I finally did, but it took a long time for me to break through and for the powers that be to say, maybe there's more to him than we thought. Let's give him a shot here. And I was able to take advantage. And then it became, hey, we're coming to you. We need something else here that is different than what you do, but we know you can do it. But getting to that point was a long road.
Yeah, sometimes you have to believe in yourself when nobody else does. Because what was the way for you to prove them wrong? By simply doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously you have to have the opportunity, but it is wild in that way. That sometimes even at the highest level, no matter how much you accomplish, if you don't win, quote, the big one, you will still have your haters and your doubters and your bozos, like Lucy Burch likes to say. All right, so no haters for these performances over the weekend. Let's crown a champion and see who did it best and give our MVP Monday.
Here are your nominees for Monday MVP.
MVP! MVP!
All right, Chelsea Hart, Jinx, let's get right to it. We will jump in. Nominee number one, we talked about him a little bit earlier in the show, Xander Schauffele of the PGA Tour.
Let's watch the legs here. He's going to need some leg stability. Make sure you get a good strike. Aiming way right to account for the lie.
Winner!
Well, he caught a lot of it.
Oh, that's a wonderful shot.
At all.
Xander with victory at Valhalla.
Thankfully, Jim Nantz did not have some cheesy line for us this
week. I thought
it
was going to be X marks the spot. Oh, Xander is a champion at Valhalla. And I was like, please don't do that.
Thank God he did. Oh, anyway, Schauffele winning his first major title. Fires the final round of 6 under 65. He holds off Bryson DeChambeau for a one-shot victory. Schauffele shot an opening round 62, continued the solid play throughout the weekend, shooting all four rounds in the 60s. He clinched the title with that birdie there on 18 to close out a wire-to-wire win. Speaking of wire-to-wire, nominee number two sees the gray in the Preakness.
Sees the gray, turning for home in front. Mystic Dan confronts him. Catching freedom, now right behind and swinging to the outside. Sees the gray, is still there. Mystic Dan bearing down to the outside. Sees the gray.
Ah, it's a great, Great call. Sees the gray holding off Kentucky Derby winner Mystic Dan down the stretch to win the Preakness. I'd like to hear that guy do golf. That would be more fun. As he wins the Preakness Stakes on Sunday there in Baltimore, sees the gray, trained by 88-year-old legend Dwayne Lucas, and the victory was Lucas's 7th at the Preakness and 15th Triple Crown win overall. Nominee number 3, Pascal Siakam of the Pacers.
Halliburton to Siakam. Siakam jumper, that's good. He was terrific on Friday night. Siakam, nice move. Step back is good. Pascal Siakam has hit his first 4 shots. He's 4 for 4 from the field. Shot clock at 3. Pascal Siakam, a 3-pointer. He's perfect so far. 5 for 5.
Siakam scoring 20 points in the Pacers Game 7 win at New York. He helped Indiana get to that Game 7 with a 25.7 rebound performance and a must-win Game 6 on Friday. Indiana now moves on to face Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. And finally, nominee number 4, Paul Skeens of your Pirates.
Second straight start against the Cubs.
Good luck, Cubbies.
He's made it 6 in a row to start the day. Paul Skeens. Better call some buddies. There's strike 3, and that's 7 in a row. 7 up, 7 down, all via the strikeout for Skeens. Paul Skeens strikes out 11, and a phenomenal start here at Wrigley Field. Unbelievable.
Skeens faced the Cubs for the second time in a week. This time he dominates. 6 no-hit innings against the Cubs. He struck out the first 7 batters he faced in the game. He finished with 11 Ks on the night and threw 12 pitches that hit at least 100 miles per hour, including his final pitch that he threw in the game, which was his 100th pitch. So, Jinx, all these nominees, you can go off the book if you'd like. Who is your MVP on this Monday?
Let's go Xander Schauffele. He was awesome. We were talking about breaking narratives. Here he is, 30. Chelsea, you said it. We treat the guy like he's pushing 50, still looking for that first major. But he's been a guy who's been so consistent for so long. And imagine that. That's got to be one of the worst questions or worst labels in sports, like best player, never to win a major. I don't know if he was necessarily that guy, but he was close. He was definitely in that conversation. So for him to finally get it done, I thought was huge. And it wasn't just that putt. That pitch to put himself in a position to make that putt on 18 was absolutely fantastic. And you talk about pressure. Imagine this guy. He's heard everything. He knows the situation. He knows the narrative. And then he gets the putt for birdie to win his first major. That's as good as it gets in sports. It was a great week of golf at Valhalla. And by all accounts, Xander is a really good dude. Even Bryson DeChambeau said after it was over, look, I've known this guy. I've been playing with him since we were playing junior golf together. He is a fantastic human being. He deserved this. Really happy for him. So am I. Xander Schauffele, MVP.
Yeah, absolutely has to be Xander Schauffele. Winning the big one after breaking all of the narratives that he's not the guy that you want to trust on Sundays. How's this for trust on Sunday? Shooting a 65 on the final day after you only shot in the 60s every single day of a PGA championship. So you talk about the pressure. Like, think about the pressure that you have to feel on Sunday at a major. The pressure that you have to feel when Bryson DeChambeau is breathing down your neck. Somebody who we all know can go very low on any given day of the week. And then the pressure of that final putt, which, oh, by the way, felt like if it was just a centimeter the other direction, that it wouldn't have gone in. Like, I feel like golf has to be the most mental sport of them all. And then when you have this in the back of your mind saying, well, he's the guy that can't win at all. And then you sink that putt to win. What a way to win a major championship. The first one for Xander Schauffele, even though that gold medal at the Olympics was also very special. Not a major. So I'm going to give it to Xander Schauffele as well. But I'm going to give an honorable mention to Naz Reid. If you were watching the game between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets last night, usually your eyes are drawn to the superstars in the final minutes, right? It's a superstar-driven league. You're like, okay, what's Anthony Edwards going to do? Is he going to, like, go one-on-one? Is he going to drive to the hole? How is he going to make this game his? But no, it was Naz Reid, the sixth man of the year, somebody who didn't even start for most of the regular season, who was the finisher for the Minnesota Timberwolves, taking down the defending NBA champions. So I have to give a little aside to Naz Reid as well.
I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I'll go with Shoffley as well. And as impressive as the putt was, I guess for me, I think of it this way, that if he doesn't make that putt, he's still going to have an opportunity to win the championship. The shot for me was the one, the approach shot after the drive on 18, where his feet are in the sand trap.
Yeah.
The ball's above him. He has to choke up on his club. I mean, that is a hard shot for professionals. Forget amateurs trying to pull that off. There's no way any of us are doing that. But for a pro to have his feet in the sand and the ball basically at his waist, and the announcers talk about, they're like, is he going to use an iron here or a Louisville slugger? Because it's basically like swinging at a baseball. That, to me, was the most impressive shot, because it put him in the position, as you talked about, Jinx, then the chip to get it close and then the putt. If he wrecks that shot, maybe he bogeys and loses the tournament itself. But with that one, he at least guaranteed himself that no worse that he was going to be in the playoff. But remarkable weekend with all the distractions going on with what happened with Scottie Scheffler, because you know those guys were thinking about it as well. For him to pull that off, soft greens, again, I'll go with you guys both. I'll go with Xander Schauffele as well for MVP Monday.
I know, it is confusing when you see like the SCH on the scoreboard. Oh, Scottie Xander Schauffele. He won it. He won it finally. But I always feel like there is one shot like that for the most epic rounds in golf. Like, think of all the wild shots that we've seen from like Tiger Woods. Wasn't there one like directly behind a tree where he like broke his club? Don't we always see shots like this?
I think we do from time to time, for sure. I always think when you think about guys who crush it in a major or who win, there's always a shot or two that are defining. He certainly had those shots, particularly on 18.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm getting at. It's similar to when somebody throws a no-hitter. Somebody always makes like a game-saving catch, an incredible web gem to seal the deal. That's usually how it works. So what a weekend across sports. Up next, time to talk about the NBA, the Western and Eastern Conference semifinal previews.
Chelsea and Jenks will be right back on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Welcome back to the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM, with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger on the BetQL Network.
Hey, hey, and we're back. Thanks for tuning in on a Monday. I'm Chelsea Messenger, he's Michael Jenkins. In a few minutes, we'll get into the very early preview of the Western Conference and Eastern Conference finals previews. Last night, Jenks, I'm not going to lie, it was really hard for me to go to sleep. I want to inject whatever the Minnesota Timberwolves have in their veins into my own veins. What electricity we felt during that game where they closed out the defending NBA champions on their home court. Do you ever see a team like this? And I'm not going to say it's delusional confidence, because that's not necessarily fair, because the Timberwolves were one of the best teams in the NBA all season long. Number one defense. They have some absolute superstars and guys like Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, of course, Anthony Edwards. But sometimes it takes confidence that maybe is a little delusional to do something great. And even in the small things in life, sometimes you have to have confidence in yourself when nobody else does. Was there ever a time in your life where you had confidence that maybe was a little delusional, but it ended up being a self-fulfilling prophecy?
So false confidence then, where I thought I
could
do
something. Not false, but maybe something that there was a chance of failure. You know, there was something that maybe was reaching a little further than maybe you could have gone, but you believed in yourself. So you accomplished it.
Oh, okay. So the opposite, when I thought I might be able to do it, but I did do it. Correct?
Well, when other people thought you couldn't do it, but you did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've experienced that before where I think it was, it's what I was talking about earlier when, yeah, I mean, much of my, if I think about accomplishments, much of what I think about is my career because I can't do anything else. I'm not going to jump out of the gym and blow you away with my basketball skills or anything like that. But I, yeah, I think it's probably when it's when I was just trying to establish myself in different areas under the journalistic umbrella, if you will. And there's a million different roles under that umbrella now, especially in 2024. But I think it was taking what I had done as a sportscaster and proving that I could do it as a newscaster, if you will, or a news reporter. Because if you're known for doing a bunch of entertaining things on the air or reading highlights, there's a natural inclination for people who are in news to say, what are you doing here? Like, why are you doing this? Why is this? Especially when you're younger, too, when you haven't established yourself as much, you know how that goes. Then it's sort of another, it's sort of something else that is against you as well. And so being able to take that and say, I don't, maybe I'm doubting myself. I feel like I have the skill set to pull this off. I know I can. I've always wanted to do it. I just need a shot. Maybe some people are doubting me. And then it ended up working out. So I hate to go back to the same example, but that's probably what I would say. And once you get over the hump, like anything else, even in sports, once you do it the first time, it gets easier after that.
Yeah, I think there's a layer to this that maybe people who haven't worked in news don't understand. But did this happen to you? It felt like people who worked in news kind of looked down their noses at people who worked in sports. They're like, oh, yeah, that's journalism, Wyatt. Those aren't real journalists. So I totally get when people look in, at you and say, well, that's the sports guy. That's the guy that's known for hijinks and jokes and practical things like that. So I totally feel you there. I think for me, it was when I had just started out in journalism. I didn't have a journalism degree. I had zero experience. When everybody else that was type A types and, you know, getting things done and said, oh, well, I've already had my internship done. I have all these things before graduating college. NC State did not have a journalism school. I was way behind the eight ball. I had to move to Podunk, Montgomery, Alabama, and I can say that because I live there, to do an unpaid internship. I had to move somewhere for an unpaid internship. And every day my dad was like, Chelsea, are you sure you want to do this? Do you know how much lawyers make? Because I was supposed to go to law school. I was a political science major. And I think he said these things, but he tried not to say them too often to like not damage my confidence. But like I was kind of behind the eight ball. Like I was way behind all these people who already had jobs. And I was starting way behind, but I said to myself, no, I can do this. These girls over there can do it. I can do it. And so it was kind of almost delusional confidence that I would make it. Because, Jenks, did you ever have people sit you down and say, listen, TV is a really hard business. There is a lot of failure. You're not going to make a lot of money. You should just quit now. Did anybody ever say that to you?
Well, one of my first bosses, he was the guy on Tiger King. Remember that cat I was talking about? Rick Kirkham, I'll say his name. Bad human being. He sat me down. I was already working. And his exact quote was, well, first he said, he found out I was trying to leave. Like, I don't know. I was using a fax machine or something because this is the late 90s. And so he called me into his office and he was angry that I was trying to leave. And I'm like, Rick, we're all trying to leave. This is market 160, 161. I'm making $13,500 a year salary. Like, all of us are trying to leave. It's not personal. And he said to me directly, well, Michael, you suck. Management hates you. And you're never going anywhere. It was a direct quote. And I was already in the business. But fortunately, I recognized pretty early on, if I'm going to listen to someone, this is the same guy who told me that I was too young looking, I needed to start smoking. Same guy. So I feel like knowing what I know about this person, maybe I'm not God's gift to whatever I'm doing here. I'm just trying to make it. But I feel like maybe I'm not going to listen to advice from this guy. So it hurt to hear because no one wants to hear you suck. You're never going anywhere. And this is my direct superior. So that was not great. But I also thought at the same time, I feel like there are other people who might give me a bit more of an honest and respectable assessment.
Yeah, hashtag consider the source. This is like when people on Facebook reference some article and it's from like Daily Happy Talk or something. And you're like, that's not a credible news source. Come on, people. But the reason I bring this up is because the mentality of the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, I talked about it at the top of the segment. It feels like this is a team that was born to slay the dragon. And they did. Just beating the Nuggets on game 7 on their home court just last night. So now the stage is set for the Western Conference Finals between the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Of course, the Timberwolves, fresh off beating the defending champs, are your favorites in them. But you have to realize how good the Mavericks have been playing as well. And they do have a superstar of their own in Luka Doncic, who is fresh off a really good game. They have a great 1B in Kyrie Irving and certainly some depth. A team that picked up a good rebounder in Daniel Gafford. A team that really did some good things to shore up some of their weaknesses. So, Jenks, let's start with this. What do you think the most interesting aspect of this series will be?
God, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm having a hard time. T-Wolves, Mavericks. I think it's going to be, can the Timberwolves take what they have done against the Nuggets and then parlay that, if you will, into something bigger? Because they, like you said, they've slayed the dragon, right? So the defending champions are down. It's not necessarily a letdown spot. I think you have to reinforce to your guys, this is just part of the journey. Like, this is huge. We had to do this. We did it. But this Mavericks squad plays great defense, veteran ball club. Jason Kidd is a hell of a head coach. They just can't afford to take their pedal off the gas. That's the key, is to not say, all right, we finished the job. We won in the semifinals. No, no, no. You still got a lot of basketball left to play. So I think complacency is probably the key here more than anything else. Once you get that huge win, it's, that's great. Let's put it behind us, and we can celebrate all of these dubs at the end of the year if we hoist the trophy, because now we know we have a chance to win it all.
Yeah, I think they need to make sure they're not getting ahead of themselves. Like, we saw it in the closing minute of this game where, I forget who it was, it was somebody on the Timberwolves who was trying to bounce pass to himself to do a dunk when the game was already decided. Listen, the Nuggets were not happy. Nikola Jokic was very angry about, you know, some of the lack of sportsmanship at the end of this game, but that's the way the T-Wolves operate. Anthony Edwards was waving to the crowd with like 19 seconds left, and I thought somebody was going to punch him. But this is the swagger and the spark that they play with. We will see if it gets the worst of them in this Maverick series, but I think for me, it's, are we going to see the execution from them? Because all season long, we have seen, on paper, they have everything that it takes to win a championship. And the same goes for the Celtics, because isn't half of sports just execution? It's not the favorite who wins it every time. Half of it is you actually have to execute. So if we're looking at the updated odds now over at BetMGM, what a surprise. The Celtics are still your favorites. And I think maybe it's a sigh of relief that now the Nuggets are out of the equation. But the Celtics, to win it all, are now minus 150, a pretty overwhelming favorite for a field that feels pretty, I'm not going to say that there's a ton of parity, but it does feel like there's some very talented teams still left in the mix. The Wolves, to win it all are plus 260, Mavs 5-1, and Pacers 30-1. So, Jenks, you see those odds, or you hear those odds, I should say. Who do you take here? Do you think it's worth laying $1.50 on the C's here?
I don't think so. I still don't quite believe in Boston just yet. And this is going to be one of those, this is going to be one of those disprove the narrative years for the Celtics, which I know we keep talking about narratives. I know people like, say narrative one more time. You say narrative again, I'm going to drink, which I get that. But it exists with the Celtics, right? With Jason Tatum, with the C's. They're really good in the regular season. They fold in the playoffs when they should be winning. I believe they have been the overall favorites the past, the previous two seasons, favorites again to win it this year. Can Jason Tatum get it done in the clutch? They made moves during the offseason, but we don't know. We don't know what to think about the Celtics, because they haven't really played anybody, right? At least not in the postseason compared to the Western Conference. Everyone knew going in the Western Conference was going to be the real slog. Like, this is going to be a bunch of guys, like, beating up on each other. Games are going to go They're going to be dragged out. We're going to see some game sevens. It's been a cruise fest for the Celtics thus far. So how will they respond once they actually get punched in the mouth? They're going to punch back. They're going to fold. And I don't know the answer to that just yet. So until I do, I need better value on the Celtics before I'm willing to put money on them to win it all. I'm not going to do it at plus 160.
Well, it's minus 150, which is
minus 150. Oh, God, that's even worse. No way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, our job is different in this regard. When you hear the talk shows who are simply sports talk shows, they will talk about, you guessed it, the word of the hour, narratives, and how we don't know if we can trust Jason Tatum. For us, it's we don't know if we can trust Jason Tatum at this price. It is always price dependent when you're talking about sports betting. So if I even have a shadow of a doubt about a team, I'm not taking them at minus 150 to go through the gauntlet that is the NBA Finals and the Western and the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think that's just it for me for the Celtics. Am I going to be shocked if they win? No. On paper, they're the best team in the NBA, have a ton of depth. But there are other teams that are really good as well and looking squarely at the Minnesota Timberwolves. So the T-Wolves plus 260 to win it all. Jenks, this feels like the hottest team in basketball right now. Feels like their confidence can't be touched. And also, they just have a really good team. This was the number one defense in the NBA all season long. They have the reigning sixth man of the year in Naz Reid, who was great down the stretch last night. So is it worth a swing on the T-Wolves at plus 260 to win it all?
I think probably so. I wish you could get better value here, but I'm definitely not laying minus money with the Celtics. Man, the T-Wolves found something, didn't they? And remember last week I was talking about how sometimes cities have a hard time getting over the hump, and once they get over the hump, then it's sort of smooth sailing. Now, the T-Wolves have a lot of work to do because the Mavericks are playing great basketball. But when you were down like they were last night, down 20 points in the second half in Denver, they won three games in Denver in this series. And now they know, not just telling themselves this, they know from actually doing it, no matter what situation we're in, on the road at home, being down, we can come back and we can win this game under the most pressure-packed of circumstances because they've done it. So this could be one of those things that propels them to an NBA title now. And at plus 260, I like that a lot better than laying minus money with the Celtics.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about almost borderline delusional confidence. If you told any team in the NBA that, hey, it's game seven, you're going to be down 20 on the road to the defending champions. You think you can come back and win convincingly? Mm-hmm. T-Wolves are like, hell yeah, we got this. It's in the bag. That's what it takes. Almost delusional confidence to succeed at this level. But I'm buying into the T-Wolves. Like their confidence, like the way they're playing. Hell, Anthony Edwards didn't even have a good game last night, and they closed out the Nuggets on game seven on the road. So really like the value there with the T-Wolves. I don't think you will get a better price unless they lose in game one to the Mavericks, which could happen. Maybe it's a wait and see thing. We didn't even mention the Pacers. Maybe they deserve a passing mention. They're 30-1 to win the NBA Finals. Nobody's talking about them. They've got a great squad, but I don't know if they can win it all. We'll see. 30-1, pretty tempting though. All right, coming up next, what you've missed in the NFL, including Tua Tagovailoa not at OTAs. We'll tell you the details next on Daily Tip.
Chelsea and Jenks will be right back on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Let's get back to the Daily Tip with Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Wake up, people. It's time for the Daily Tip. Time to get your day started, and it's time to open those eyes to what's going on in the NFL. We will give you the lowdown on everything that's happening across the league as we start OTAs, and how Tua Tagovailoa is not showing up at these OTAs. We will tell you why, along with some other quarterback news across the league. But first, if you're a fan of the show Wheel of Fortune, and if you're a fan of sports betting, well, two worlds are colliding this week for a big promotion. And when I say big, I mean up to $10 million in bonuses all week long, courtesy of our sponsors over at BetMGM. What they're doing is sponsoring a progressive jackpot all week long on Wheel of Fortune. And in the meantime, they will be giving out bonus bets, everything, you name it. Just take a spin on the big money wheel for daily prizes and a chance to win $10,000. You could also take home other bets as well, like parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same game parlay boost tokens, bet insurance tokens, and bonus bets. It's free to play and only over at BetMGM. So, Jenks, are you a fan of the show, Wheel of Fortune? I said it earlier on the show. This is my favorite game show.
I don't know if it's my favorite game show, but yeah, I like Wheel of Fortune. I just always try to decide if I could make it, and my answer is always no. Every now and then, I'll be like, oh, good guess. You know how it is? You convince yourself based on, like, one puzzle that you get. Oh, I got that one puzzle. But then I'll go an over for the next 10. So I like Wheel of Fortune. It's going to be interesting to see how it evolves now that Pat and Vanna are leaving. So it's going to be different. It's going to be like watching Jeopardy without the great Alex Trebek. It will continue. People love the show, but there's going to be a transition there for sure.
Wheel of Fortune's one of those shows that I watch simply because I didn't have cable growing up. Did you ever have one of those shows that you watched that, like, if we had all the streaming options that we did now back then, I probably wouldn't have watched it, but it was either that or like the news. Because I think it was on ABC, and at 6:30, we would have Wheel of Fortune. So you could go to, like, the other networks, and it would be, like, something like the news, something like Dateline. So I was like, okay, this is the best option of everything that I have. Did you ever watch a show like that simply because it was the only thing or the best option on?
Oh, yeah. I used to watch all of these old shows from, like, the 50s and 60s in the afternoon because we were like you. We didn't really have cable, or if we did, it was a super, super small number of channels. So I'm watching, like, Father Knows Best, Mr. Ed, Green Acres. Then maybe I catch a Braves game because the Braves just happened to be on, or maybe the Cubs on WGN. But that was it. The number of choices available back then were really few and far between. Or, yes, I'd see Wheel of Fortune in syndication on some channel. But there were very few channels from which to say, okay, what am I going to watch today? I was like, well, it's either Green Acres or nothing. Like, there just wasn't a lot on.
I just remember being like 8 or 9 years old, and I watched Seinfeld, which, you know, is a show for adults. And I was trying to figure out, they're like, yeah, Elaine's sleeping with this guy. I'm like, why does it matter so much who she's sleeping with? And why does she not want to sleep in her own bed? Like, obviously, I probably needed some adult supervision, but it was not a show that was made for eight-year-olds.
Well, I will say, we did get Cinemax at one point. And there were some times, yeah, Skinemax. And there were some times as a young boy, I was like, what's going on here? Who is this Lady Chatterley? I haven't heard of her before. So that was a learning experience, too, where you're just sitting there and your eyes are wide in front of the TV and like, this isn't like watching the Braves play baseball. This is totally different. What is this? So, yeah, I've been there.
And all of a sudden, eight-year-old Michael Jenkins was no longer interested in baseball cards. It was a defining moment.
That boy became a man right there.
All right. Well, let's switch gears to the NFL. Because if you have enough money, you can watch the NFL this year. Have you seen how expensive some of these subscribing services for the NFL are this year? Before we get to Tua. Like, it's shocking. And you know what? I'm going to spend whatever money it takes. But do you pay for, like, direct ticket? Sound like Bill Belichick. Do you pay for Snapface or InstaBook? No. What is it? Sunday Ticket? Some of these
I'm
are really
expensive.
I'm not
paying for Sunday Ticket. Yeah. I'll pay for Red Zone. Like, I'll watch Red Zone. And NFL Network is going under, by the way. It's crazy. It's absolute wild to follow that whole thing play out. Their shows are winding down. They're going to partnership with ESPN. So NFL Network, as we've known it, is going downhill. It's going under.
Really?
But, yeah, it really is.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's sort of a slow close, but all of the shows that they're doing are starting to wrap up, and you're seeing talent leave, and they're going to enter in some sort of partnership with ESPN, which brings into question, like, how is ESPN going to treat the NFL? They're going to treat it wonderfully, of course. But I'm not paying for Sunday Ticket. That's just a lot of money. And I honestly would rather just watch Red Zone anyway, because Scott Hansen does an amazing job on that show. Mm-hmm. And I would rather just bounce around and watch the scoring or watch the storylines as opposed to, oh, my God, oh my God, if I don't get to see Browns, Jags this weekend, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I understand if you're a huge NFL fan why you might want that, but for me personally, the cost isn't worth the reward.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, there will be plenty of primetime games, and of course I can at least watch my Titans, and that's the team that I will be dialed into. But I mean, everything's expensive these days. You go to the grocery store, nothing is less than like $7 for a bottle or a box of cereal. The prices are just outrageous for cereal and also for quarterbacks. So Tua Tagovailoa is trying to cash in on this. We had mentioned that he has been sitting out of OTAs, which is kind of against what he's been doing in the past. Normally, he is somebody who always shows up for these voluntary OTAs. It should be noted that these are voluntary. He certainly doesn't have to show up. But I think the speculation is that Tua is gunning for a new contract. It's going to be his final year of his fifth-year deal worth $23 million. Going rate for quarterbacks these days is around $50 million per year. So we haven't seen an extension or a new contract drawn up for Tua just yet. So, Jenks, do you think Tua deserves $50 million a year?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. That's the going right now. $50 million is the going right for a quarterback in the NFL. So Tua, for the first time last season, made it through an entire season without an injury. And by the way, good for him, because weren't we all really worried about Tua Tagovailoa for a while there when he was getting all those concussions and stumbling off the field? You never want to see that with any player. But I think this is actually, from a negotiation standpoint, this is pretty smart, because he's coming off a season where he played every single game. Remember, he learned jiu-jitsu during the offseason so he could learn how to fall and not take these hits so severely, which hampered him early in his career. He was very good last year. The Dolphins are building around him and those receivers that he has. So I think this is smart on his end, especially when you see all these quarterbacks getting monster deals. Now the $50 million mark is going to be the new standard, right? Because Trevor Lawrence is trying to become the next $50 million quarterback. There's already five quarterbacks that are in that club. It's going to continue to grow. And say what you want to about Tua Tagovailoa. He's a very good quarterback, but also, who else are they going to get? They've invested so much time and money into him anyway. I think he gets it.
Yeah, and all the agent has to say is, who else are you going to get?
Yeah,
it's got to be such a good side to be on. If you represent an NFL quarterback, this is the market to be in, just simply because of the supply and demand. Like, how many even mediocre quarterbacks do we have? It doesn't even feel like half the league has a mediocre quarterback at the helm. And that's saying something. So if you can put up decent numbers and take your team to the postseason, you're worth something. And you're worth a lot of money, at least according to the market. If you're wondering where the market stands, I think you mentioned this. There are five guys right now sitting at this number. But even the guys who are hovering like right below this number, Kyler Murray making an average of $46 million a year, Deshaun Watson, same deal, Kirk Cousins, $45 million a year. So I think when you look at the other numbers, I think it's probably warranted, but I don't know. We've seen teams kind of shy away from this. It really depends on the quarterback and it really depends on the organization. But I do think that Tua can make a very good case for deserving this money. What do you think about quarterbacks doing this before their contract is up? Like, this is the trend that we've seen with just about everybody. Angling for a new deal before their contract is even over. Do you think this is a smart play? And do you think this is a trend that we see continuing on?
It'll always continue. And I think it's player specific. But also, I've definitely come around over the years to backing the players here. Get your money. Get paid. Now, some players, admittedly, definitely overvalue themselves and they end up rolling the dice and it doesn't work out for them. But man, the NFL, I'm always fascinated by what these guys are willing to go through for these non-guaranteed contracts. The most violent sport anywhere on the earth. It's not even close. And when you're willing to accept this much punishment, and remember, the average career in the NFL is, what, 3.5, 4 years? You know, how many times are you shocked at least a couple times a year where some veteran who has played for an organization for a long time, who has done fantastic work on the field, model citizen, and the franchise will be like, You make too much. You're washed. See ya. Like that. Happens all the time in the NFL. That's the business. So if that's the business that you're in, when you are in a position where you actually have some leverage, because playing quarterback in the National Football League is the hardest job in sports. That's why once you get past the good guys, the other starters are just meh. They're just eh. They're all right because it's so difficult to play. So when you have the leverage that Tua Tagovailoa has, yes, absolutely take advantage of it, because when the franchise gets to a point where they don't want to pay you anymore, you're gone.
Yeah, you said it. It's a business at the end of the day. There is nothing personal about it. It is dollars and cents, and you are simply an employee of the National Football League. Do we think Tua can stay healthy for another year? Like, this is always a tricky question because I feel like there's no way of knowing, right?
Well, that's the big risk, but also that's why I think it's smart that he's doing it now. If you're going to do it after the one season you had where you stayed upright all year long, because who knows with his injury history if he's going to be able to do that this season. So if you're looking at his, at where he stands and how much leverage he's going to have, I feel like this is the perfect point to do it. He won't get more leverage than this.
I still think he needs to create his own school for quarterbacks. How to fall and not get a concussion. The School of Hard Knocks, or lack thereof, by Tua Tagovailoa. Kind of like the Manning Passing Academy. All right, we gotta go. Hour 3 is on deck.